Tanaim in the Mishnah, the third part of Orla, about which things are chashuv and not batel. It's a Chachamim and a Rabbi Akiva and a Rabbi Meir. I'm not going to go in order of the Mishnah. I'm going to go in order of Chomer Kula. The Chachamim say six things are chashuv and are not batel. Well, list them. I mean, they won't be terribly meaningful to us because we're just in different circumstances. Rabbi Akiva says seven things. Six plus kikrot shell of ice. Homemade loaves of bread. Rabbi Meir says Dako Limnos. Shidarko Limnos. Anything which is counted. What do you mean anything which is counted? It doesn't matter if you randomly decide to count them. Anything that is counted means it's sold by count. That's a lot more machmir than the six things. Right? Six things means real special things, like real, real good special things. It says anything that you sell by count. Some things we sell, the Rishonim will say, some things we sell by estimate. Not as much nowadays in modern-day supermarkets. You sell approximately, here's a basket, let me name you a price. But things that are important, that are significant, you sell by count. Like, if you want eight costs 69 cents each, so this is how much eight is. If you want 12, then this is how much 12 costs. Like, you charge for each one separately. That's called, in the language of the poskim, it's called Dover Sheva Minyan. Not to be confused with this sugya, they're actually both in pizza, two glot apart. Dover Sheva Minyan is sometimes used for completely unrelated halachic concept, meaning something legislated by a legislative body, like minyan, you count votes. Right, that's a sugya right next to each other in the beginning. Beta, Dabash of Minyan, Sarah Minyan, Akhla Tira, whatever it is, your button was legislated. You need a legislation to repeal it. You can't just decide it doesn't apply to you. Okay, nothing to do with this. This is a different. That in the Gemara uses the phrase Dabash of Minyan. This is a phrase the Rishonim and Achronim use the phrase Dabash of Minyan for Darko Limnos, meaning something that's counted. Something that's counted is not a batel. This is, of course, when it gets to Parshat Bamidbar, Kisisa, etc. So this is the beginning of every Chassidish Drasha, that Hashem counts Bnei Yisrael, once we're Dabash of Minyan, so we're not Batel ever. And it's very beautiful. But, and you understand the logic, right? Because each one must be significant, otherwise you wouldn't charge separately for each one. Okay, we'll get into some other details, but before we get into the practical details, Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish argue what's the girsa in the Mishnah. It really says blend Shidarko Limnos. So if in Rabbi Meir, you have Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish. Rabbi Yochanan says, S, Shidarko Limnos Shaninu. They're not arguing svar, they're actually arguing about what the Mishnah says, Shaninu. S, Shidarko Limnos Shaninu. The Mishnah, proper text of the Mishnah, is Es Shedarko Limnos. Reish Lakish says, Kol Shedarko Limnos Shanim. Now, it seems awfully similar, but it's really very, very different. Rabbi Yochanan's Es Shedarko Limnos means that which is Darko Limnos opposed to everything that's Darko Limnos. What's the difference? The difference is, Es Shedarko Limnos means it's always sold by exact count.
Not the opposite.
What?
Not the opposite.
Excuse me. Okay. The Eshadar Lewis is always sold by count. Anything which is always sold by individual count is chashuv, is not batel. If it's sometimes sold by count and sometimes not, sometimes you count each one and sometimes you say, what's the difference? Then it's not so chashuv. Reish Lakish is super duper machmir. He says anything which is sometimes sold
by exact hint. Right?
Sometimes it doesn't mean there's one weirdo someplace. That's but like, oh, it means within the normal way of the world, some stores sell it and the exact by exact count, and some stores don't. Okay. That's a big chumra.
What would we do today that everything is according to our land?
So hold that thought. Yeah. Okay, hold that thought. Now, first let's figure out how we paskin, and then we'll talk today figuring out how we paskin. We'll figure out, and this is very nogia lemaisa. If you're ever, again, most shilas of bitl are not yavish b'yavish. Most shilas of tarovs are more lach v'lach, like something got mixed into a pot or, you know, etc. But every once in a while, you do have a shilas of yavish b'yavish. You actually have different intact things, and you don't know which is kosher and which is treif. And if you want to know what's bottle on, so continue with this doctrine, we know. Very, yeah, okay, only comes up sometimes, mostly a bug issue, otherwise pretty rare. We'll get to Bali Chaim, also pretty rare. But the Dover Shem Aminyan could be something more rare, could be something more common. It could be that most things are Dover Shem Aminyan, if you take those macro position. How do we paskin? So this is a fundamental machlokes from Shonim, without getting into every single, without getting into every single Rishon, the Rambam paskins like Rabbi Akiva. The Rambam paskins like Rabbi Akiva. Let's read only Mechaber for now. In Sif Aleph. Dabar Choshev Ozer Mino Shekoshev. Something Choshev is Ozer. Remember we read Bimino, only if it's mixed with its own species. The Koshev. Again, it's very rare that it would get mixed with a different species, because how could big things get mixed with different species? But, theoretically, we remind you of Achluk, so Shach and Gra, the Shach says the Mechaber's Lav Dafka, really, Dover Chashim is not Batal, makes no difference, Mino or Eino Mino. The Gra says, no, the Mechaber holds is only Aser B'mino, but the Ramah holds Aser even Shalom B'mino, so since most of us are Ashkenazim, the Maisim holds the Aser Shalom B'mino. Machluk is Gra and Shach, is, does the Mechaber hold is only Aser B'mino, like he says, Gra? Or the Mechaber's Lav Davka, he really admits it's also Bein B'mino, Bein Shalom B'mino, the Shach. Now, what is a Dabar Chashim? Shiva Dvarim, there are only seven things, like Rabbi Akiva, the Elohim, it goes a Perech, nuts either of a place called Perech, or nuts that you can crack easily, that were obviously very expensive in those days, for Rimone Baden, pomegranates from Baden. Again, it's very hard to figure out what this means. Not regular pomegranates, only ones from Baden. You know, obviously there's some delicacy in their days, with Chavia Stumos and closed barrels of wine. The Shach points out that only means big closed barrels of wine, not very small closed barrels of wine. The Chilfos Trudin and stalks, shoots of beets. The Kilki Kruv and stalks of Kruv might be a cabbage. Udlat Yavanit and Greek gourds. Okay, these were obviously, you know, out of all the species, these were picked. So there was something very custom about them in the old days. The Kikros Shalbalabais and homemade loaves. The Shach points out that, okay, we'll see later that does depend on your time and place. In his days, even the bakery loaves were chashev. I think in our days, the bakery loaves are still chashev, like they're significant things. Avol shar dvar, anachli shadark and limnos are ill olim bishi. Oh, sorry. The chen bali chen chashev. And this is a different Gemara. The Gemara says elsewhere, everyone agrees, plus Bali Chayim, live animals. Everyone agrees live animals are as chashuv as those things. Live animals, someone want to guess why live animals and Chatikur Liskabed and Birya were not listed in this Mishnah Orla? Because the mission Arla's in Zorah, so I'm a vegetable. So this mission is listing all the vegetable items. The animal-based items are not listed there, that you have to look through Kulin. So they say Birya is different, and they say Chativun's Kavi is different, they say live animals are different. The post can say, isn't every live animal also Birya? So they say no. A Shorhan Niskel, for example, this could actually happen. I mean, our reality, not in Woodmere and Tine. But if you're farming, you could talk about a Shorhan Niskel. I mean, okay, nowadays maybe not Sicha, but you can have the red shirt, this girl that just runs into the herd and you don't recognize the difference in between all the different cows. And it could run through a herd of 100. Is it buckle or not? It's not a birya. Anyone remember why shirt is not a birya? What? No, it's not also mitchilas b'yosam, right? It's not also when it was born. It only came also yesterday. So there are lots of examples like that where something would be a live animal, but not usher from when it was born. And then it would be, you know, you could have chatos hamesos, then you could have, you know, trefos, etc. You know, like the kind of trefos that you could see happening when it's alive, like it got clawed by a lion and then, or a wolf, and then get mixed with the herd. So those things are not butthole. Again, not something that commonly happens in our urban experience. Okay, bali chaim are not butthole. He concludes, but other things, even if it's the way to count them, even if they're sold by exact count and the storekeeper is machshir each one of them, that doesn't mean they're really chashuv. They're not like these seven things, and they're not like live animals, and therefore they're batal in whatever the appropriate shear is. What's the shear? For yavish b'yavish, normally it's rov. The reason it goes in the shear is because what's with arla, or arla, it's 200, and they're, you know, some of the zrama morchar. Skipping drama, to finish the chaber called dovashu chashuv ding nokamim komos. He says it's not halachah moshmi Sinai, right? It doesn't say anywhere in the Chumash that these are special. It's just Chazal looked around and they were tzitzis and evaluated. So he says anything which is as chashuv in your place as a godei perech and moni badin were in Israel in the time of the Mishnah is also chashuv, is not batel according to how chashuv it is in your time and place. Meaning, every Sephardic posek has to use his judgment to see. It's a little hard to use your judgment because we're not sure exactly how chashuv it goes in perech. But if we see what percent, how many fruits there are, and how many types of those fruits there are, what percentage of them in the Mishnah, we could make some sort of approximation, and we could clearly see that, you know, if you have a, you know, if you have a, I have to figure out exactly what. How chashuv, but they sell, I don't know, they sell regular heads of lettuce by the head. I don't know, do they or do they weigh them? I have no idea. Let's say you see, but that's not so chashuv like these special things. It's just a regular cheap vegetable. So you'd say it's mistum, it's not as chashuv as those things were in their time. And if you see very fancy gourmet things that are sold by the unit, you'll say, okay, maybe that wasn't as chashuv as the goldy pair from their time, so you'd have to be mafra if you were a Sephardi posek. These only mention, he says, because these are aser b'kolshu in all places. It's a little funny, like, we don't even have baden nowadays, so.
Isn't that an inherent illogical statement?
And it is a good point. I assume what he means is, because he's saying, these seven things are chashuv everywhere, and then whatever's chashuv in your place.
Because it says in the Mishnah, well,
so it's a very good question. It could be that what he meant was that at least in the days of Chazal, these seven things were usher in all places. So maybe we're chog sheish they'd be usher in all places nowadays just l'chomra. While other things were only chashuv in some places. Okay, l'mais is going to be hard judgment call to make in some cases, but that's the halacha for Sparta.
Also, b'zman hazeh, isn't food so much less chashuv than it used to be in terms of the percentage of one's wages that go towards food and things like that? Food is so.
First of all, it depends where you shop. But I hear the time now that food in general is cheap nowadays. You go to the supermarket, even expensive things, how expensive are they? I hear the time now, but I wouldn't be making less than that time, just because it's very hard to know how to measure these things. I hear the time now, theoretically. That is for Sephardim. Now come Ashkenazim, Akedarka Bakodesh, but this is not a Chumra the Ramah. The Ramah Pasalik Rabbi Akiva. But all you look at the mitzvahs of all the Ashkenazic Rishonim, you know, it's all the, from the Re straight through the Smag, and all the Ashkenazic Rishonim paskin like Rabbi Meir. Why are they all paskin like Rabbi Meir? We know the halacha is usually like Rabbi Akiva. So pashtus, the answer is because Rabbi Yochanan and Shlokish argue within the sheet of Rabbi Meir. This is always Machlokish Rishonim. Right? If I'm a wrong argue about the sheet of one time, does that mean they hold like him? Or does that mean they're just doing theoretical Talmud Torah? So the Rishonim ask us to assume, if Rishonim and Yochanan argue all Shas, all over Shas about this, and the Gemara analyzed them all over Shas, it must be because they hold like Rabbi Meir. So all of Rishonim ask us to pass like Rabbi Meir. Within Rabbi Meir, should we pass like Rabbi Yochanan and Rishonim? What would you think? Using the normal rules of Rabbi Yochanan. Because we always pass like Rabbi Yochanan against Rishonim. So most Rishonim Ashkenaz. Right? Most of the Rishonim Ashkenaz passing like Rabbi Yochanan. And that's what the Ramah says the Ramah, filling in the Ramah, Yesh Omen, to go Darshav Minyan, any Darshav Minyan. Hold on. Hull or Est. Ha'inyush adarka lo'so tamid. If it's the derech limnoso tamid, anything which you always, always count. Anything which you always count. Rabbi Yochanan. Ain't no batel, v'chein no'agin. This is the Nashtanos, this is the Ramah. V'chein no'agin. Okay, then he adds, Hadid ha'rachashvina batel, ain't no midrabbanim, v'zunim seikul l'kula. This we already know. All these things that aren't batel are only midrabbanim. These ha'rachashvina that aren't batel. Okay, all these varm hashuvim that aren't batel only midrabbanim. And therefore, in Safag we go l'kula, and the Shach here says, in Zimkut, you're the same thing. He always says, means if we're mesufik, whether or not it's chashuv, we go l'kula. If we're mesufik, whether or not it's usher, then it's usher. And if it's chashuv, then it's not batel. Means if the suffix of doubt, whether it's chashuv or not, we go l'kula. that's the Ramah. However, the story does not end there. A minority of Rishone Ashkenaz and many of the later Rishone Ashkenaz, such as the Isser Heter and the Maharshal, Paskin like Rish Lakish, that's a Chiddush. That's when all of Shasim Paskin like Rish Lakish. Probably because if you ever learn Beitza, the Gemara in the beginning of Beitza seems to assume that the Tanaim there hold like Rish Lakish. And like the Tana Delitra Katsios there, if you've learned the beginning of Beitza. So there's one sugya that might sound like we pass like Rish Lakish, even though we usually don't. And therefore, the Isra, a minority of Rishoni Ashkenaz and some of the later Rishoni Ashkenaz, or the early Achroni Ashkenaz, like the Isra Heter, the Marshal, Paskin Lahachmer like Rish Lakish. This is quoted in the Shach and the Taz. The Shach doesn't explicitly Paskin, although he seems to lean towards Asrin. The Taz explicitly Paskins. Lit chumra here, and this is a big machlokas for Ashkenazim. How we pass like Rish Lakish, like Rabbi Yochanan. You should know this machlokas is probably affect. I think 90% of a lot of foods. I mean, take for example, take an apple. Again, it looks like you don't have a lot of trade apples. Is an apple davar shav minyan? How do you usually buy apples? How do you buy apples in the supermarket?
Oh wait.
Every single day, I don't understand what the Hakam just said. According to, if we passed in, like the Ramah, there is no such thing as Bidwi other Shabir.
No.
Every single thing is sold by by weight.
So let me, so let me take it back for a second. Quotes the Yad Yehuda here, based on the Mashmos of the Rishonim. Okay, this is what I promised to get back to, and I think that I should know. First, let's look at the Ramah. Eishadar Kalimna, something you count. What does it mean you count? The Rishonim say, count as opposed to what? We should always say count as opposed to estimate. Okay, nowadays, we don't estimate anything, right? Have you ever gone to the supermarket and, you know, I don't know, maybe some mom and pop store, some place, or some, you know, roadside stand. Say a normal place where 90% of the people buy their food, everything is counted.
Even wholesale everything is counted.
Right. You know, maybe between neighbors in a farm country, I don't know, but a normal 90% normal commerce. However, said both the Yad Yehuda here, based on it's hard to tell from the Rishonim but this is seems to be the, all right, really hard to tell from the Sukkot. Quoting the Yad Yehuda, who is Pashtus and who is not, reminds the quote the Yad Yehuda, and the modern day posting like this, always sold by exact count, so if it's sold by count, then it's not batel. But what if it's sold by weight or volume, not count? Like, what about produce? Produce is sold, you don't count apples and oranges and grapes. You sell by the pound, right? What about things you sell by the pound? So is that considered counting? You count the pounds? Or is that not? This is very unclear. However, says the Yad Yehuda, if it's sold by weight or volume, then it's batel. So paskins the Yad Yehuda al-Atar. If it's sold by weight or volume, it's batel. That is a...
So it is logical.
No, it is not illogical.
Eggs are sold by the amount of eggs. So that's
eggs are
that's,
not.
That's not butter. But steaks, which is sold by the weight, that is butter.
No,
that
it's not. It's Chatzin Rilis Kavi.
What?
It's Chatzin Rilis Kavi.
In a bathroom,
no, I'll tell you why it is logical. Because the question isn't how expensive it is. In Taroba's question is, how important is each one? Is there one Isser got mixed up with your Hefter? Is one important or is one not? If you count each one, then one is important. I had 10 kosher meatballs. Now, in falls, a treif meatball. I have 11 now. So, is having 11 as opposed to 10 significant or not? It doesn't matter how expensive it is. It matters whether each one is significant. I think that's the logic of the Yad Yehuda.
Every single thing in all generations is based on money. It doesn't work anyway. Hashivos is a question of money. Okay. And how the Yad Yehuda can make this up himself, I don't understand. But the whole thing doesn't make any sense. Because we sell everything by price.
Okay. So, Limaisa. Okay. I don't think you have to argue with him. You can even bring a riot against it. You have to agree with him. You can even bring a riot against it. Lemaisa, what he says is that things that you put on the scale in the supermarket and weigh are butel, are not considered dover, sheb, and minyan, even though you're careful, even though the apples cost, you know, 10 shekel a kilo, I have no idea how much apples cost, and they weigh them all, but saying you don't charge for each apple, that's not a dover, sheb, and minyan. So says the Yad Yehuda. However,
diamonds.
Of course they are. You charge for each diamond separately. No one puts diamonds on a scale and weighs them.
Exactly. Yeah. Everything in diamonds is weighed.
Yeah.
You pay by the
weight. Everything in diamonds is weighed.
What?
Diamonds is weighed.
Angle.
I mean, that's what it is.
It's also the echud, but it's basically very weighed.
It is not. I don't go to the diamond district and say, I want to say this in Yiddish. I'll take 12 carats of diamonds. Say 12 carats at $50 a carat, $600. No, this stone is worth this much. This stone is worth that much. Like apples, they just put a bunch of apples on the scale.
That's more refined, but that's exactly how you think.
Exactly. Has to be, no, but you put a carrot with carrots. The chips are done in the way the same value. But the chips are done are not the same value as like as a rock.
You don't sell a 6-carat diamond.
What is the deal?
I don't know. It's 6 a lot or a little.
You diamonds don't work the same way.
You don't say about the same price for a 20-carat diamond or a 10-carat diamond.
I like diamonds. Take gold. But don't change the diamond. How about gold? Gold is not actually a minion.
Yeah! A gold scraps, of course.
Gold. It's not the Bash Minyan, because gold is sold only by one. Make any sense?
No. A gold ring is not sold only by weight. There's a price for the ring. And if the artist worked on it, it depends.
You're talking about the apple dabble, but talking about gold.
It goes grass. It's not a double shim million. I'm fine with that.
Good that you don't deal with gold.
Anyway. All right, look.
You know what happens when they close the day and to shop with the gold? They have to take a thing and clean every single spot there because every one of those things is worth a lot of money.
With the Yankees, they do it.
All right. Anyway, I know very. I admit, I.
I want to remind us when the Yad Yehuda lived.
The 19th century. Anyway, Lemaisa, I don't know. I hold like the Mishnah and the sixth parak of Avos that I don't care about the gold and the silver and the diamond. It's the Torah. That's what's valuable. The Lemaisa, the Yad Yehuda says. That and the Badei Shulchan quotes him and agrees, and other Rabbanim postmen that I spoke to agreed, although not everyone, that something you put on the scale in the supermarket is not a Dover Sheb Minyan. However, he says, and I think his logic is, I think the logic isn't whether something is important or not important. The logic is whether each can count, whether the unit is important or not, whether each unit is important. And maybe the svara is, well, because if now you have more units than you used to, so if each one is important, then that's really the isser looks more problematic. But I hear the tainas. And, you know, you say gold, and then you're going to say potatoes. And you're really going to say that potatoes are chashuv because they put them on the scale nowadays? Okay, maybe. Maybe. Lemaisa, the Bade Asulchan, says...
I love it.
That's what it says.
Okay.
Artikim, feta, you know, you paid by the thing, just stuff a chashuv. At the end of the day, I'm saying you can't bring a wrap of potatoes that's one way because artikim is the other way. You're saying it is of a chashuv.
Right.
Once we pass the Malach Rabbi Meira, now everything is sold by count. By price, by weight, there's no such thing.
Okay. The Lemaisa, the Bade Asulchan, goes even further, Lekula. He says, well, when you buy a can of something or a bottle of something in the supermarket, even though you paid by each can or bottle, you're really paying for the weight, so it's not a Dover Chashev. And he brings a raya from the fact that some Ashkenazi Achronim point out that Chavios Stumos that are big are Chashev, but they're small, they're not. Maybe, what if you count each Chavios Stuma? Not such a good raya. Okay, forget the raya. Lemaisa, the Bade Asulchan wants a paskin that if something comes in a package, you pay, like, go to the supermarket, the sticker, you know? 8 shekel per, you know, a bottle of canola oil. Whatever it is. Even though you count the bottle of canola oil, but that's not Dover Shiva Minyan. Because you're only counting it because it has a liter in it. The Yad Yehuda disagrees. The Yad Yehuda makes a pshara. He says, if you just stomp, put it on the scale and weigh it, then that's not Dover Shiva Minyan. But if you package it and then you count how many packages you have, that's called Dover Shiva Minyan. Not that it's more expensive or valuable. Why would it be more expensive or valuable if it's packaged or not packaged? Because that each unit is more significant. The number of units you have is more significant. So that's what the Yad Yehuda says. Says the Yad Yehuda. Everyone disputes with both of these. But if it's sold by... If the... One second. The packaged and sold by... The package, such as a can, then, says the Yad Yehuda, it's not batel. I asked Rabbi Willig. Rabbi Willig said he thinks we should pass in that way. This is against Zev's intuition. It has nothing to do with whether it's, because then it has nothing anymore if it's expensive or not expensive. It has to do with whether each unit is significant or you don't count, whether you count the each unit significant, you notice how many units you have, or whether it's just a big pile of something. Whether, even if they might cost the same price.
Can we perhaps describe with a little bit more detail what chashivos is in this regard?
So part of this might have to do, the machlokas between Zev and the Yad Yehuda might be, what is chashivos? Does chashivos mean? Now, there are achronim on all sides of these issues. Does chashivos mean that it's expensive and valuable, or which I mean, clearly that's how the machaber starts. Called Dover Chashiv Einu Batel. It's about being expensive and valuable. That's why it's only 7 things. Or once you get to Darko Limnos, is that because whatever you count is really, really valuable and expensive, or is it no? Whatever you count, Chazal were gozer on because since you pay attention to every unit. Therefore, a unit can't be batel, because the unit becomes chashuv. The count becomes chashuv. And I think the Yad Yehuda is saying is that it doesn't matter if it's important or not important, expensive or not expensive, useful or not useful. It matters, do you look at it as a number of units, or do you look at it as a pile of goods? If you look at it as a pile of goods, then a little more can be batel, what's the difference, a little more, a little less. If you look at it as a number of units, then hold on. You can't have more units than... you're allowed to, and if you have 12 heter, you can't all of a sudden eat 13 of them.
I think in regards to the cans and bottles, the only reason why they're not sold by weight is because they're all the same weight. Meaning, you put cans, like,
that's
you have
what
a thing of cans.
That's what the Bade Asulchan says, and he says it's mutter in this case. That's what the Bade Asulchan says. He says exactly that. Look, Turkey and having you agree on these things. But this is.
This is some chashuv is talking about bani. We're not talking about gold and silver, we're talking about food. So surely it's in the eyes of the eater. So something which is davar charif, right? Something which is a very potent food, you're more likely to sell it or to use it in food in a much smaller, distinct thing. It's that. It's surely it's in the eyes of the eater.
Right. If we have a problem that has a and you have no way to apply it today because doesn't make sense. Can't we go the coolest since the Rabban and the Paschim like the Chacham, which is the Shitas of the book?
I don't know. That's
a lot better than what the Yehuda does, makes it up.
Okay, I think that's already a philosophical issue.
Why is it philosophical?
What's better?
It's a question of how you look at how.
Okay, I don't think we can pass like the Rambam against all the Rishoni Ashkenaz. You know,
we don't know how to apply Rishoni Ashkenaz.
Then we should.
Ashkenaz, everything like is not bottle.
Okay, then maybe that's what we should pass it. We can pass it that way if we want. So pass it that way. Zil. There's no pitul Yavish Yavish anymore. Okay. Again, it's not the end of the world. Yavish Yavish doesn't happen all the time. So according to this, what the Rambam would be saying is that eggs are not bottle. Because you buy eggs by the count.
Sorry, wouldn't this happen also with lach b'lach if we're saying this? Because if you buy a bottle of something...
No, I'm saying once it's mixed in together, then...
But it's, you know, batel even with a mashu. So if you have a if you have a treif bottle of, I don't know, Snapple, and a drop of Snapple, and you have a drop of Snapple fall into something that's much larger,
no,
it's not batel.
The drop is not counted. Unless you're saying, we're going to weigh that drop in the supermarket. Yeah, look, certainly the way I say in the Yad Yehuda, it's fine. Once it comes out of the bottle, it's no longer something you count in the supermarket.
But I thought these davar chashuv are not butl regardless of what form they get mixed in.
No, regardless of how many other things they get mixed in. Once they're broken, they're butl. So that's like being broken. Uh-huh. Well, even once you open a Snapple bottle, it's broken. Meaning, you can't sell an open Snapple bottle.
One of the saying that even if it's something that you count, but you're not really makbid on, so then it's not viewed as davashav minyan.
Yes.
So eggs are like not makbid. If we buy by a dozen, we find one broken, we're not going to return it to the store.
No, it's the other way around. That's because it's too much to if you're in the store. You never heard the storekeeper give you 13 eggs because he wasn't makbid. That's what they mean. By not makbid. The storekeeper throws in an extra one. No.
But it's just a concept that I'm not makbid if I bought
a lot of. No, that just means that you're not a makbid person. A lot of people are not makbid on a lot of things. What they mean is that the storekeeper throws in an extra. You know, there's some old-fashioned stores, wherever you go, they throw in an extra one.
The way it's packaged.
Like a baker's dozen kind of thing.
I think that's only because the way it's packaged. Like,
but it doesn't matter. But it doesn't matter. That's the Matthias.
One second.
Sold by approximate count, or you throw in extra, then it's pasha, then it's bottle. That's pasha. That's what I guess you just. This is what Rashi says. What's not a rabbinic? So that's all by approximate count, or by, you know, you just eyeball it, or. As Nachum pointed out, you throw in some extra. I say, you know what? Each one is a dollar, and then whenever it comes, I always throw in an extra one or two. Okay, that's a double shipment minion. But that's rare nowadays. That's exceedingly rare
nowadays.
What about
packages that are estimates according to the Badei Shulchan? Like, ke 350 gram or ke 70 igurim.
Then that would not be a double shipment minion. And a flammy. But those are rare also.
So no, then it would. I'm saying.
What about a package? Yeah. No, then if you pay for the package, then it's. This is the Yad Yehuda. It's the Levershim Minyan.
According to the Badei Ashkenaz.
Yeah, no, but every package will say.
If it says a weight.
I understand what you're saying. I think so. But Kol Shekin.
That's why the Shulchan would agree to the.
Because then he would say the package is just a substitute. Instead of being a substitute for weight, it's a substitute for approximate weight, so it's even more meagre. Because no one really. It's just. Yeah. Okay. This is. This is a Kiddush, this Yad Yehuda. It is not Poshet, but a lot of modern day poskim Rebbe, and it doesn't come up all the time, so it's not that you can ask, like, oh, how are they going here or there? I mean, these aren't things that really come up all the time. Keep in mind also that, like, a lot of, like, classic, like, things you might imagine are not really the Shaila. Like, for example, I mean, some might be, but most things aren't. If, like, all of a sudden, like, you know, they sold a factory manufactured, you know, a million, you know, packs of Twizzlers or something, and then they accidentally mixed with something that was on the wrong run that was made of Treif equipment or made with a Treif glycerin or this or that, that doesn't even get into the shine. It was pushing that bottle. Why? Because remember, the Rechashev is only a problem with Aser Machmas Atzmo, not with Aser Machmas Bliya. So anytime you have a mixture of things, they're only Aser Machmas Bliya, there's no problem at all. right? If they accidentally, the soup company, Heinz Soup, accidentally puts the same label on 5,000 cans of kosher soup and 1,000 cans of treif soup. But all the soups look the same. They just have bleas of treif. Then push their bottle, because the bleas are bottle. The rechash is the only problem with the etzen, usser. So this wouldn't come up all the time in most products. It could come up, for example, in treif wine, which is the etzen usser. Let's say you had a factory where they're supposed to keep it from being stam yenam, from the maga of the nochri. And, you know, they have one bottle. The wine ended up being treif, and it got the same label mixed up with 1,000 bottles of kosher wine. Then that would be this chomer shayla, the usser machlas atzmo. Or if you have like meat products or other things, Eretz Yisrael products, that could be usser machlas atzmo. But most of the time, this doesn't come up because you usually don't have a tarobis of countable solid items, or even solid packages, that are usser machlas atzmo. But if it, what?
In Shemitah, no, it could come up.
In Shemitah, it could. Shemitah taket could come up, right? I mean, that's not a crazy thing, right? I go to my cousin's house, and, right, not crazy. And he's a drawer full of cucumbers. Most of them are full of nachri, and some of them are heter mechira. Right? This is my simchol yom, right? So, and let's assume that, you know, I hold heter mechira's treif. So then, can I eat a cucumber or not? Right? I can't eat all the cucumbers. By the way, this is, like, one of these logical questions that we didn't see it in the Achronim. But if you don't know the answer to this question, then you're bad at math. If Taka in the drawer, he had 10 kosher cucumbers and 5 treif cucumbers, then can I eat all the cucumbers? No. How many can I eat?
No,
I'm saying, let me chew this bottle. How many can I eat?
10.
10, right? Because once I eat an 11th, I'm for sure eating a treif one. Right? That's just the equivalent of the smog, not eating all three. Here, you can't eat 11, because the 11th is...
You know this for sure, rule of trade.
What? No, I said rule of kosher. I said 10 kosher.
No, market. Even if... When
yes.
You're saying the worst case, you eat the tray, and it's still rule of kosher.
Yes, exactly. Now, what about that case? So Zev would tell... I don't mean to blame Zev. I forgot who the Bar Kluta to the Yad Yehuda was on this. Who's in a printed somewhere. Would say, since we weigh cucumbers are Dover Shevi Minyan nowadays, and I can't eat the cucumbers. The Yad Yehuda would say, what do you mean? No one counts cucumbers. If you don't count cucumbers, then they are bottle, and you can eat up to 10 of the cucumbers. Just not the 11th cucumber. That's a big nafkamina. Right? So you can take it however you want. I'm going to say the way I learned from my rebbeim, and everyone can take it whatever direction they want. It does get more complicated. I just don't have time. We already don't have time.
Is there any connection between Dover, Chashuv, and Hefsid?
No. The other question is, hold on a second. Maybe we should be machmer like Reish Lakish, right? The Shach and Taz quoted, contemporaries of the Rambam who were machmer like Reish Lakish. What would be enough meaning to Yochanan Reish Lakish? Again, of course, what I have on the board. Let's say apples. You go to any supermarket, no one counts apples. But you go to a kiosk or a bodega, and each apple. When I was in YU, you go to the bodega and an apple is 50 cents. 2 apples is $1. 3 is $1.50. I don't know, by now it's probably more, maybe there's inflation, I don't know. But there are some things which not everyone counts, but some people count, right? There's a lot of things like this. Sometimes there are candies, right? Which you could buy, just put on the scale in the candy store, etc. Or the kids could come to a different kind of store and it costs 10 cents each, right? The lollipops are 10 cents each, or you could buy them by the pound, right? So that, Rabbi Yochanan would say it's bottle. Or Reish Lakish would say it's not. Now, that's not everything. I mean, raisins, no one ever counts raisins, right? I mean, that's not telling real Reish Lakish. But a lot of things, in some small sales, kiosks and bodegas, they count. But in more normal supermarkets, they don't. So that could be enough. I mean, an apple, right? Don't they count apples? Don't you have to pay for each apple separately at the bodega? I never bought an apple at the bodega. I'm not that healthy.
Yeah.
I bought Drake's cakes at the bodega. But Lou Yitzir, that was more of a Balmoser. So that could be an afkamina. Who do we hold like? And you could probably be an afkamina a lot of things. Who do we hold like? Reish Lakish or Rabbi Yochanan? So Lemaisa. says the Taz, we cannot let Rish Lakish. However, the later Chachmas Adam and the Aruch HaShulchan says, nah, it's enough to be makel like Rav Yochanan. Lo lahakim, and we can be somech on the Ramah. Even the Taz admits, Makom Hefsid, you can be somech on the Ramah. So Lamaisa, if possible, it would be good to be makel like Rish Lakish, but if you're stuck, you can be somech on the Ramah like Rav Yochanan. That's the Chachmas Adam, the Aruch HaShulchan, all, they pass in Pashal Rav Yochanan. They don't even mention Rish Lakish. Interestingly, even though there's a list of Chashav, late Rishonim, early Achronim Ashkenazim, hold that way. They didn't even mention Rish Lakish. The Shach takes it seriously. The Taz takes it seriously. There's no Hefsed. So Lamaisa, Yesh Makom Lahakel. Although, you know, it would be preferable if you can to be Machber like Rish Lakish.
But they mention raisins. So according to Yehuda,
then a box of raisins is still a problem.
Because it's packaged differently, so
because each box you pick for the box. Yes,
always,
correct.
Raisins, we
correct.
Like,
the Pesach Shuvah points out,
the
in the Taz, right, the classic nafkamin Rav Yochanan Rish Lakish to the Taz was eggs. Because eggs, some people count the eggs and some people just throw in a big bucket. That was the nafkamin Rav Yochanan Rish Lakish. The Pesach Shuvah points out, I was quoting that, of course nowadays, everyone counts eggs, so it's not a nafkamin anymore. It's pasha nafbatzel for Ashkenazim, eggs. So this is a significant limitation on the idea of bitl yavish b'yavish. Again, if you have things intrinsically usr, I don't mean you have raisins with treif oil, right? The raisins with treif oil and the raisins with that weren't with treif oil, of course, are batel because the raisins are kosher. It's only machmas bliya. I don't mean the Heinz bean, you know, or even chashev things that were, you know. I don't mean the you know, what's a real chashev thing that you could buy that would be a davishiv minyan. Kikros. I don't mean the loaves of bread, the fancy loaves of bread that were made in a treif oven versus in a kosher oven, right? Because that's not intrinsically usser, right? The example there of loaves of bread was they were made from quiet carrot, which was really usser, right? But if you have something that is intrinsically usser, which could come up nowadays, especially in Eretz Yisrael, right? This could be Maisim Chol Yom and people with different minhagim about different things, then. Sfardin would say, unless it's really chashev, it's no problem. Although then you have to figure out how to judge. And Sfardin also, it's not so pashut how to apply. Ashkenazim would say, you know, many posts can try to be kosher for Rish Lakish. If it's ever counted in any type of store, then it's not batel. But if we need to, we can be so much on Rav Yochanan. If it's as long as it's sometimes counted, sometimes not counted, then we can rely on the later post gemurah machriya like Rav Yochanan. And say that it's batel. But if it's always counted, then Ashkenazim cannot assume that it's batel. Are eggs the only things that are always counted? Well, no, the Yad Yehuda says, and packages. Packages are always counted.
If a person goes and buys one package, that's not counting the package.
Sure it is. Each package, they charge you a certain amount of money. I go to the register, if I have four bottles of Coke, they charge me four times. If I have five bottles of Coke, they charge me five times. If I have six bottles of Coke, they charge me six times.
If I'm buying a package of lettuce, I'm not counting how many each and every piece of lettuce. Sometimes it varies with each package.
No, as long as the package, but obviously, once I open the bottle of Coke, it's not a Dovership Minion anymore because, you know, I've got a closed bottle of Coke or a closed package. I don't know if they, how they sell packages of lettuce. Oh, yeah, okay, we have to move on.
But the application today gets ridiculous because take a small box of cornflakes, that's packaged. You take a huge box of cornflakes, that's also a package. That's what the Yad Yehuda would say to
yes. As well, right, that's what he would say. Okay, I have no Mesorah for Moshe Rabbeinu on Har Sinai as to who's right and who's wrong here. This is the way I learned, and everyone can draw their own conclusions. We see that it is a complicated inyan, and I admit that, but we must move on. Okay. What else do we have to discuss here? This is the basic confusion of Dover Shiva Minyan. Just one or two details. One or two details that come up here is, okay, we're not going to go into the Yai Nesach issues, but the Shach Sefkat Beis has a big question. Let's say, Taka, it's not Batel. Let's say I have a taromis and taka, it's chashav l'kuli alma, and it's for sure not batel. You know, it's a real davar shel minyan l'kuli alma, or katuba l'skavi, or whatever, and it is not batel. So, what do I do with this tarumas now? If something treif gets mixed in, it's not batel. Just eitz tova. What can I do with the tarumas? I can sell it to a guy, right? Okay, the post will assume you can't sell things to a guy that are treif and wait, they might go back and sell them to Jews, but yeah, let's assume that works out. The Shach deals with something, comes a few times in Shas. What if there's a tarumas of an Isser Hana'ah? Right? Like Orla, in the Mishnah Orla. Right? I have an Orla pomegranate. An Orla pomegranate is chashuv. Let's say it's a very chashuv pomegranate that's Orla. And this Orla pomegranate gets mixed in with 100 kosher pomegranates. Now, not only are they all Aser B'Hana'ah, they're all Aser B'Hana'ah. What can I do? I'm going to lose all that money? Is there an Eitzah? Anyone think of the Eitzah? Even if you didn't see it in the Shach? If I'm clever, what can I do? I now have 101 pomegranates. But one of them is Aser B'Hana'ah, and I don't know which, and it's not Batel. Do I have to burn them all? Exactly. I can sell it to the guy as 100, for the price of 100. Right, and the guy will, either I'll say, I didn't count, there might be one more, you know. I can sell, I mean, I can't tell him how much he'll give me for 101 for the price of 100. That's cheating. But I can say, how, you know, this is, I have 100 here. And I'll say, I don't know if it's exactly 100, but if there's a little extra dough, it's fine, then you don't have to return it. Right? So if I sell him the guy for the price of 100, then really what have I done? I've sold him the 100 mutter pomegranates. I don't know which they are. I've sold him the 100 mutter pomegranates. I've been mafker, the one. It's around all pomegranate. That is mutter l'kuli alma. That solution is for sure mutter. I'm allowed to sell them all to a guy, and for the price of 100. And that way I don't have to lose all my money. Or I don't have to lose any of my money. Just some inconvenience. The other solution, which is controversial in the Shach, which is a machlokes, Rishonim, is the opinion of Rabbi Eliezer. He says that there's another option. Basically, what do you do if you have an Isser Hana'ah? Isser Hana'ah Shenis Ari. What can you do? Aleph Molchron Legoy Chutz Me Isser Shemrahem. Right? You sell them, but you don't sell them the Isser. You tell them it's less than that and you just charge a smaller price. The other, which is controversial, is Mashlech Demei Isser Liyam HaMelech. Liyam HaMelech is not Davka, meaning you throw out the money, the value of the Isser one. And then you can sell them all. Then you still can't eat them, but then you can sell them all to a guy. Right? So then you could be nana from, you know, from all of them. Why? Because you're not nana. Let's say they're each worth $10. That's a lot of money for pomegranate. They're each worth $3. Now you have 101. So you tear up $3 bills and flush them down the toilet. And now you sell them all, but you haven't gotten hana from the Isser Hana'ah because the extra one you flush down the toilet. Does that work? Do you say, well, I haven't been nana because I flushed that down the toilet? You say, no, I was nana. I flushed it down the toilet. That's not relevant. That's a separate action. So this is a big machlokes Rishonim, big machlokes Achronim. The Ravid says it works, but the Shach and the later posting of Shagura disagree. The Ravid says it works, it's in the Furish and the Gemara. However, the Poskim say maybe here it's going to be a little counterintuitive, even perhaps ironic. The Shach says that only works by Avodah Zarah. Why? Because Avodah Zarah is more chomer. Why should we be more mako? Because Avodah Zarah is more chomer. Avodah Zarah is so chomer that if you sell Avodah Zarah, the money becomes usser also. Ah, so the isser of Avodah Zarah is transferable. Since the isser of Avodah Zarah has precedent for being transferable, you can say, like, this $3 is the hana and flush it down the toilet. But since Yibos B'Cholov and Arlen Klai Kerem are never transferable, therefore, like, if you flushed $3 down the toilet, that was not relevant because you couldn't connect that to the Isser. So the mice that we hold from the first solution, we don't hold from the second solution. We hold that in regular Isser, tearing up $3, flushing down the toilet doesn't work because that's not connected to your Isser. That's just stam shtus. However, everyone agrees you can sell 100 to a guy and throw in one for free because then you're not being nene from the Isser.
Lias of, let's say, Orla went into another food that's
kosher. Then it's
bustle. Are those things
Aser B'Hana'ah
also?
If Leah's of Orla went in, that is an excellent question. I think we saw that in Simit Pei Zion. The Ikaron note, if you're not Nana from those Blios, then that would be okay. Meaning, you couldn't do it in a way that you're Nana from those Blios, but if you're not Nana from those Blios, I don't know, use it as fuel or something, and it's no better because those Blios, then it would have to be okay. That's your son, Simit Pei Zion. Okay. Now we're ready to go on to Sif Beis. Sif Beis. Ba'al Yichayim Shiniz Ar Bachir Minishchatu Batal Chashivusan. Okay, this is just a repeat of what I heard earlier. If a live animal that was usher, because it was, and it was chashiv because it was a live animal, like a Shor HaNiskel or Chata'ot Tameitot or something like that, got mixed in with other animals and got shechted, then it's batal because now it's not chashiv anymore once it's shechted. V'hu Shinishchatu B'shogeg. But of course, only for this was b'shogeg, because if you shechted it on purpose, that bitulis l'chachil b'mezid, and then there's a knas. Anytime you do a chash, if you break it on purpose, that's bitulis l'chachil b'mezid, and there's a knas. If you break it by accident, then it's batal, because it's not chashiv anymore.
Why is it bitulis l'chachil?
Because that's clear in the Mishnah, that taking a chashiv thing and breaking it to make it not chashiv and batal, that's called bitulis l'chachil.
I have 100 animals, and I decide to shech them.
Yes, right now I have 100 animals and they're all treif because this tarobas that's not batal. If I decide to shech them, that bitul is l'chachila.
But there's no isa to shech them.
Of course, they're all usher now. It's tarobas that's treif.
But that doesn't mean I can't shech them. My kesher. As soon as I
shed,
and then
the settle.
Just like smashing
the egos
apart.
Yeah, but that's...
No, they're two totally different things.
Okay, lemaisa, it became usher to shech them, because that would be mevatel yisr. And now, even though it's normal to shech them, it's still usher. And the Ramav, davka b'alechayim, ketanim she'im rilis kabalach shifasa. Of course, this is only if there's the rare case of small animals that aren't to rilis kabe, because if they're big enough for this kabe, then even after you shech them, they won't be alechayim, they'll still be chaturilis kabe, so it'll still be a problem. A gogun with shitasa, even though it's raw, it's still realis kabe. The shach here deals at great length, and the gra. But what about the fact that it would still have the skin and the feathers and stuff? Maybe that would make it not realis kabe. And I'm not going to get into that discussion now, or because we have to speed a little. And that's an interesting side point, meaning how does this work within the normal arecha of Rulis Kavit? I am Shalom. Gimel is the next concept, very difficult concept that we find in this simen, which we're not going to be able to get into every nook and cranny of, but just to appreciate the basic idea. Famous case of Teshach Anuyos. Teshach Anuyos Mochus B'Rash Shchut Aviach B'Chor Sanivela. This is, of course, the din of Kavua versus Parsh. Nine kosher butchers and one treif butcher. You bought from one of them, but you don't know which one you bought from. You didn't pay attention. Right? This, again, you have to be awfully absent-minded. But there are absent-minded people out there, or, you know, you never know, you know, someone, you know, one of these Shana Aleph kids comes from America and says, oh, in Israel, everything's kosher, it's in Hebrew, right? So they went to and bought something. You say, which store did you go to? I don't know, I went to a store, it was in Hebrew, it looked kosher. And you say, yeah, but all the stores in this town are kosher except for one. Maybe you went to that one. They say, I don't know. So that's a case of, that's exactly this case. What's the din? Hareza Osir, it's Osir. Even if there are nine times as many kosher stores, even if there's 99 or 999 times as many kosher stores, it's all what you bought is treif. She called kavua to mechzal mechza dummy. Since you took it from the kfiyos, there were certain kavua stores. There were stores in a fixed location. Kosher stores here and the treif stores there. And you went to a fixed location and took something. That's called kavua. Kavua is considered half and half halachically. What?
If
they were market stalls and they changed their position every day, so that would get very, very iffy. Nirulani's dainty in that case, it would still be called kavua because. Well, okay, hold on. Let me take it back a second.
That doesn't happen, though. No.
It doesn't matter.
I know.
Why?
In New York City, of course. In the time of the meat market.
I've never been there. It could be that's kavua for that time. That gives a lot. I mean, but most things eventually change. But as opposed to what the conscience of Basra and of a shuk, what if you stomp, find a piece of meat in the shuk, over the Gayer in the hands of a guy, mutter, assuming that there are only 10 stores in town? Why? Kaven Shiruch and Yusmach Shashkuta, because most of the stores are kosher. They call it apart. There's, by the way, a whole pisley chuba here, a big machlokas. What if most of the stores are kosher, but the treif store does more business than all the kosher stores put together? Like, does it matter most of the stores? Does it matter most of the meat? Does it matter most of the customers? Yeah, but here it's a different but it's a different context. There's no clear hakhara in the achronim about that.
Where I found it.
The call the parish may rule parish, because whatever is already parish from the kvius, this piece of meat was parish from the kvius. The rule is go by the roof. May rule a parish. Zel din Torah, that is the din da oraisa.
What means by
what? I don't have to buy it, I just have to bonagid, remove it from its kavua location. Or perhaps, as long as I saw it come out of its kavua location, that's Wolpaskin, that's something off of the rest of the Rabban, that's kavua. Meaning, if I say, this thing, I saw it come from a kavua location, but I don't know which. That's kavua kamesa mestidam. If I say, I just found this here, it must have come from a kavua location. Where else does meat come other than one of the 10 butchers? Right? Meat doesn't just come out of thin air. But I didn't see it come out of one of the butchers, I just saw a piece of meat, then it's parsh. We all understand that scientifically, there is absolutely no difference whatsoever, right? Meaning, the odds are the same, 90% versus 10%, right? This is not a scientific distinction. This is a halachic, formal distinction.
So, coke of money is what? Still don't understand. Okay. Water in the store?
And I don't know which store.
Why does the Machaber use the distinction, when he bought it, when he found it?
It's not when he bought it, when he found it. It's one, he went to the store. The other, he didn't go to the store. That's the difference. Obviously, when you go to the store, you buy. But it's not buying versus finding. It's going to the store versus finding it outside the store. That's the difference.
With definition, you want the stuff that's on the store, want the stuff that's on the
meat. Correct. Absolutely. Right? Whether the latest hasafik was in the store, that's kavua. But the latest hasafik was on the meat, that is parsh.
Can you explain why the concept of kavua is like significant?
In a moment, yes. The Gemara, what?
In the store there was no suffix.
In the classic case of kavua, there was no suffix in the store, because the store has a sign whether it's kosher or treif. I'm just absent-minded, I didn't pay attention.
There wasn't a lot in the store.
There was no lot what? Yes, because when I took it from the store, then the suffix is no lot. The truth is, there's a million subtleties here, which I'm not going to get into now. But let's just try to understand on a basic level what's going on. Clearly, I think we will all agree that the difference between kavua and parish is not scientific or mathematical or practical.
It's
exeris akasa from Ba'arav lo bekamala. This is a very complicated limud. That kavua is kemetza al meftadami. If I have a bunch of people and one of them walks out and walks over me in the street, that's parish. I assume his identity is the rove. If the bunch of people are all there, and I pick out one of them, then it's a 50-50 suffix who he is. We don't go by rove. Basically, rove doesn't work for kavua. Rove only works for parish. Now, the you could have these cases even nowadays. Go back to all our Shemitah controversies. It works out very, very nicely, right? Someone goes to the shuk. I counted in the shuk. I'm making up the number. I didn't really count. But let's say I counted in the shuk. There are, 12 Yevol Nachri stores that sell vegetables and 5 Hetzer Mechira stores that sell vegetables. Just making that up. Don't be so much on this for a level of myself. It's an illustration.
And looking at Matt Martin, he looked up, there were 7 people in the and 100 of
Okay, so I'm not talking about Machne Yehuda. I'm talking about Machne Zebulun, where there are 12, because then it will work, then it will help.
The Arab
12 Shuk, Nachri, and 7, no, the Arab Shuk probably just buys it from Shemitah. And 7, that's what they used to do in the old days, like a few Shemitahs ago when the Haredi belt was much less developed and organized and had a lot less consumer power. All the smart Arabs just go to the Jewish farms, buy everything, and then sell it to the Haredim as Yehul Nachrim. Okay, that's the whole thing in 2015, meaning the Edith Haredis has, you know, satellite photos and everything to make sure that no one's doing hanky-panky anymore. But at one time, they used to get away with that. Okay, but getting back to this. 12 Yehul Nachri stores, 5 Hetter Mechira stores, and I'm very Haredi, and I hold Hetter Mechira's trade. So, what happens? Again, not crazy. You know, my modern Orthodox cousin goes and buys cucumbers. Where do you buy cucumbers? I'm Machne Yehuda. Everything's kosher Machne Yehuda. Taka is, you know, depending on what your shita is, right? So, if I, what is it saying here? If I, if, okay, here gets a...
It'll always be covered.
I'm going to make it trickier. Okay, let me go to bed. I go to Machne Yehuda. One second. I go to Machne Yehuda to buy a cucumber, and I didn't pay attention to where I bought it. That's called kavua. It's 50-50 whether I can eat it or not. So look, I have to be machmer and not eat it. If I find a cucumber on the floor, then I can eat it, because we go by the robe, and robe stores are kosher than 100. If I find a guy walking around with cucumbers, and I ask him, can I have a cucumber? And he says yes. Then I can eat it, because I found it in the hands of a guy.
Why is he not the 13th store?
What?
Why is he not the
13th? Because he bought it for one of the... He's not kavua. He doesn't stand there and sell cucumbers. Hey, a guy's customer. You know, my guy's friend. My guy's friend wants to have an orphanage cucumber. I can take it, because it's called the parish. Remember the parish? He took it from one of the stores. And go by the rule and assume that the odds are 12 17ths. Anyone who's an idiot savant can work it out for me. And that it's kosher.
Why is it about factories?
What?
How many vegetable factories, wholesalers, are there in Israel?
No, because we didn't buy it from the wholesalers. We bought it from the stores. I went to a store. If I went to a store, it goes by stores.
So did your boyfriend buy it from a store?
Yes, but I was not involved. So that's not part of the halachic shayla. This is, again, remember, the answer to halachic question depends on how you ask. If I went to a store, I have to ask the question of, which store did I go to? Which store did I get it from? That's a kavuadic question. If I find in the hands of a guy, we all know the guy went to a store, but that's not halakhically part of the question. The question is, what's the status of this cucumber? What store? I did not encounter any stores. I had nothing to do with any store. All I found was a cucumber. I know that intellectually cucumbers have to come from stores. That's why it's a formal difference. If my question is what store I went to, that's a kavua question. My question is, what's the status of this cucumber? That's a parish question. I know they're the same thing, but formally, halachically, they're different.
Do you know the guy went to a non-kosher store? Put the bag in the middle of the street. You can say it's kosher.
No, if I know he went to a non-kosher store, then I know he went to a non-kosher store. I don't know where he went, right? But and he's not neman to tell me either, right? Because he's a guy. He has no nemanis.
Is that nemanis? Can't tell me I got the true story. I won't believe it.
So Lemaisa, I don't know if we're going to get to this. The Postgemar Macher, that if you really trust the guy and he says it comes from a trade store, then you should be Macher. You know, but even that's a big chiddush. Certainly can't trust him saying he got it from a kosher store. And the guy might not know either. Why should the guy pay attention? Right? Mach pot low. Okay, this... That is a good question. That question is asked by the Gemara, the second paragraph of Basra, and the halacha is that we do not use karov when we use the rule of kol deparish v'ruv parish. I know you have to make dachuk or kimtas in the chumash lefizeh, but that's how we paskin. Okay, you want to take it up with, you know, how can we paskin something that then you have to make dachuk or kimtas in the chumash in parish egla rufa? Take it up in a, you know, different time and place, but that's what we pass in. So it's like rov v'karov, rov adif, ruba adif. Okay, so this is a very strange rule, this differentiation between parish and kavua. It mystifies everyone to figure out exactly what the difference is. Like, why should it make a difference? Whether it's, why should kavua be 50-50? Right? It's a funny, we all know it's not 50-50. Because I also know it's not, it's considered like 50-50, luckily. But why should that be? I know we doctrine from a pasuk. But, I mean, it's not enforced in the pasuk. The Chorin, they had a reason to, they knew how to doctrine the pasuk that way. It must have had something behind it. So this is exceedingly unclear. There are two basic mahalchim. I think the generally accepted mahalach is that this is a gezeiras hakasav that we don't understand the reason for. Okay, that's the easiest mahalach. It's a gezeiras hakasav, we don't understand the reason for it at all. Chiddush. It's a chiddush. Some of the achronim say it's a chiddush. A chiddush, not in the vernacular, but chiddush in the halachic sense. That it, you know, it's something which breaks the normal rules and therefore you can't extrapolate from. So maybe there's no svara. Okay, I never like to say there's no svara for things like this. You know, especially things that are darshan chazal for a pasuk in ways that they must have had something in mind to know to darshan the pasuk this way. So I think if you're medayik in the Rashi, which we're not going to do now, that he does have a svara for this. And he does have a svara for this. And I think the svara might be as such. You have to leave the world. Remember we have that fakir of the Tosas Rid? Of the difference in sort of the world of playing the odds versus the world of defining a chepta of a tarobes, right? We call those lina basur or bitl barov. I think the point is this. What's the chepta that you are asking a question about? So, svara l'din kavua. By the way, when I say svara, I don't mean like we all thought of this on our own. I mean, once we see there's such a din, can we find a conceptual framework, you know, where there might be a logic behind it in a formal sense? So I think it's like this. Harish, what is the chetza? The chetza we are asking about. Here it's clear. In Parish, what's the chetza we're asking about?
The item.
The chaticha, right? The piece of meat. Why aren't we asking about the stores? Because we intellectually know meat comes from stores, right? We are all, right, born and bred, bona fide New Yorkers. We know that all foods grow in stores. But our halachic question is not, what's the status of stores? Because I did not encounter a store. I encountered a piece of meat. I checked my encyclopedia. It tells me the meat came from a store. But did I encounter a piece of meat? The question is, the chetza is one piece of meat. How do you decide the status of one thing? How do you answer a shayla about one thing? Well, you figure out what's more likely and what's less likely, right? Azlina and basar rov. There's one thing. You say if it's 51% likely to be kosher, it's kosher. 51% likely to be treif, it's treif. I mean, that's the only rule you can use. One piece of meat, and therefore the rule is azlina basaruba. That's called the basaruba. Azlina basaruba. You play the odds.
Why do we go after the rove of the stores that are in town? Meaning people fly on airplanes with apples.
Okay, that is a great question. That's actually dealt with. That's actually dealt with a little bit in Shas also, and so that we're not going to get into now, the whole idea of trade rube and the difference between whether the gates of the city are closed or the gates of the city are open. But nonetheless, let's assume, for the sake of regular practical cases, halach lemaisa, that it's very uncommon that food comes from far away. Now, of course, nowadays towns are very tricky. In those days, towns were very, like, you had your town, and then there were, like, fields and wilderness and deserts, and, yeah, someone could have brought from another town. Now it's a little tricky, like, what's my town? Like, stores in Alon Shvat, I mean, people in Alon Shvat shop at Efrat, and at Somad Agosh, and in Beitar, and in Yerushalayim, and in Huna, and in Beit Daniel. So, it does become a little trickier nowadays, meaning you can't put your head in the sand and say, it depends on your municipality, you know, it doesn't depend where the Eruv extends, doesn't depend on Tchum Shabbos. But let's say, you know, you were confident enough, you know, you're in Tel Aviv. You go by Tel Aviv, you get the same robes, you go by the whole Tel Aviv metropolitan area, and, you know, how many people, you know, brought food from Amman or even Eilat and Kiryat Shmona, you know, negligible. So let's assume we can go with it. Assuming we have some way of judging, which I admit, in the, now that we have cars, is tricky because, you know, what's a town? But let's assume that somehow we can work that out. For example, in Israel, there are some things which rove them in Israel are kosher. Well, yeah, that's pretty good. I mean, how many people went shopping in Jordan or Egypt or Lebanon? This is so far, there's no chiddush. Yeah, the parish part is easy. What about kavua? So in kavua, what is your suffix about? So nirlam is daiti kacha, a small step and a big step. The small step is, your shayla is not about the piece of meat in kavua. Because your shayla is about the store. You're not asking, what is the status of this meat? You're asking, what is the status of the store this meat came from? Right? Here's the question. Right? Is the status of this piece? What is the status of this piece? There's only one way to answer. What's likely? Here, what is the status of... I'm not done yet, but... the store, this is not the maskana, right? Now, am I saying it's obvious that you should ask about the store and not the meat? No, that's not a big zero to go. I could have said, either way, I want to eat the meat. I'm holding the meat. I own the meat. The shayla is the meat. The store is mere background for encyclopedias. But you could see up exerce a cost of no. If you find the meat, if you start with the meat, your shayla is about the meat. If you start with the store, your shayla is about the store. I went into a store. Which store did I go into? I could see it both ways, you know, but up exerce a cost of, don't ask what's the status of the meat. Ask what's the status of the store. Now, the store, that's the easy step. The store is also 90% likely to be kosher. So I think here you have to ask a little better. And here's the chiddush, which I think is pshat in the Rashba, but you can, you know, look at the, just read through the Torah Sabayis this piece on Kavua and see if it makes sense to you, and then I'll bring Raya. I think the chop is this. What's my question? My question is, let's say I went to the store. Remember, there are 9 trade stores, 1 kosher store. What's the chefta of my question? The chefta of my question is, if I have a piece of meat, I take this piece of meat to the rabbi, I say, what's the status of this piece of meat? Here's my chefta. I went to a store, I don't know which one. What is my shayla about? That, is this store kosher or treif? So I go to the rabbi, I say, is this store kosher or treif? He says to me, is which store kosher or treif? I say, is the store I went into kosher or treif? He says, well, which store did you go into? And I'll tell you if it's kosher or treif. I say, one of these 10. Already you could see, at least up here is a kusuv. Maybe the chetz of my shayla is not the store that I went into, because I don't know which store I went into. The chetz of my shayla is the group of stores I went into, is the tarovis of stores I went into. If so, this is a chiddush. But if you agree with the chiddush or not, you could say the tarovis is the, not just the store, but the chetz is the group of stores. I want to know, I went someplace in this group of stores. Did I go to a kosher store or a treif store? I would even say the tarovis of stores. And here I'm going to go with the mainstream shita without regards to whether we're machmir for a different shita or not. The majority shita are mishomi. Let me ask a simple question. That meaning, not what is the status of the store. What is the status of this mixture of 10 stores? If you follow me to here, the rest of the slam dunk. This looks like a tarobus. 9 kosher and 1 treif mixed in. Now, so can we say the treif store is bottled to the kosher stores? Can't we just say the treif store is bottled to the kosher stores? Can the treif store be bottled to the kosher stores?
No, it's different.
Yeah, how could it be bottled? 9 of them have a tuda, and 1 of them doesn't have a tuda. Right? 9. Right. How can it be bottled? Nine of them say, you know, kosher rabbi not Yerushalayim, you know, and one of them says, you know, pork in Cyrillic characters. The it can't be butthole, right? Everyone who opens their eyes can see which is kosher, which is treif. It's not shaykh bittel if you know which is kosher, which is treif, right? If it's nicker, it's not shaykh bittel. If you mix one apple with nine oranges, it's not shaykh bittel. What if I blindfold myself and take one and I don't know what it is? It's still not shaykh bittel. Just because I'm an idiot doesn't mean it's shaykh bittel. I didn't pay attention which store I went to. But, and it could be, this is what the Muslim debate, it doesn't have to be nicker with the sign. It's also good enough if everyone knows. They might have the same sign, but everyone knows that this one's kosher and this one's treif. And I am not in on the, I don't have all the inside information, so I go to a store. But it's not shy to be buckle if everyone knows which is kosher, which is treif. This is the Rosh Kinnon. There's a famous, the Rosh Kinnon, or Shimshon Shinon, was one of the Bali Tosos, wrote a famous sefer, or a somewhat famous sefer called the Sefer HaKrisos. Sefer HaKrisos is about Klolim of Shas, and he asks the following great question. He says, we can be medayik from Chazal, there was once an Eglah Rufa. If there was once an Eglah Rufa, what happens to that patch of land? You're never allowed to work agriculturally work that land. Eglah Rufa is only going to get Eretz Yisrael. Okay. We don't know of any area of Eretz Yisrael that is a, what they call, a Nahal Eson, right? An area where there's an Eglah Rufa you're not allowed to work. But there's at least one patch of land in Eretz Yisrael which you're not allowed to work because of Eglah Rufa, which is a Nahal Eitan. And therefore, since it's Kavua, because it's a piece of land, it's 50-50, and no one's ever allowed to farm in Eretz Yisrael because it might be a Nahal Eson. Okay, can't be. So, and that's Doresa. Kavua's Doresa. So he answers, no, that's ridiculous. This is a mainstream sheet of the Rishonim. He says, Kavua doesn't mean just because it doesn't move. Kavua means Nikar bim komo, that it's identifiable. You just forgot to pay attention. And therefore, the Nahal Eson is not Kavua. Kavua means you can tell which store is kosher treif. How can you bittul if you can tell which store is kosher, which store is treif? If you can't tell, then taka, it's not Kavua. So says the Rosh Kinnon and Rove Rishonim. And, okay, they're a little more complicated. So what am I saying? A group of stores. And therefore, what the answer is, this is a tarobes. There can't be bittul because the iser is nicker. Is not just nikar, but they say nikar bim komo, right? Meaning, I didn't pay attention, but everyone else knows which asur b'shem mutter. What's the din of a tarobes where there's no bittul? What's the din of tarobes where there's no bittul? Like on the Durban local, see where this got me, right? Two kosher steaks, one treif steak. What's the din of this tarobes? Is the din of this tarobes that's considered all treif? No. There's no chanani yavish b'yavish. Is the din of tarobes that's considered all kosher? No. There's no bittul mehulis kabi. Din tarobes is the kosher and treif. Can one of those identities beat the other? No. The treif identity can't win because it's a minority. The kosher identity can't win because it can't be mevatel and chatur l'skabi. What's the status of this tarobes? The status of tarobes is considered a 50-50 suffix. Not because the odds are 50-50. Because there's two identities and neither one wins. That's kemetza ometza dami la'an yosaiti. And therefore, you have two identities. Neither one is mevatel the other. If there are two identities and neither one is mevatel the other, that is kemechza al mechza. What I'm saying is, it's not a gzeiras hakasa to pretend the odds are 50-50. It's a gzeiras hakasa to look at this as tarobas of stores that cannot have bittel, and any tarobas without bittel has a status of mechza al mechza. Mechza al mechza means there are two parts, and neither one is able to overcome the other part. Nirlan Yazdaiti, that's the soap of Kavua. I will bring you a raya in a moment. Nirlan Yazdaiti, meaning, my kiddush here is, again, I'll tell you which part is Mikobel and which part is, I don't mean my kiddush, eyes of Machadish. I mean that everyone disagrees with me. This part, so far, like up to here is the conventional wisdom. This part is a bit Machadish. I'm being very honest. Right? Up to here is conventional wisdom. That, the chetz is the sword instead of the chetz being the meat, that's conventional wisdom of how to define kavu and parsh. You know, but who cares if the chetz is the sword?
Right.
You still have to say there's no logic. So what if the chetz is the sword? Once the chetz is the sword, we pretend it's 50-50. That's still pretending. What I'm claiming is that it's not about pretending. It's about looking at a different chetzah. Not looking at the chetzah of the store, which everyone says, looking at the tarovas, the conglomerate of stores. The conglomerate of stores, taka, has a halachic status of mechza al mechza dami. Not we think the odds are 50-50. We think the identity is an irresolvable clash. Sort of like the Rav's Banish Mashas. An irresolvable clash is treated halachically as a mechza al mechza because they're two equally powerful studim. Now, what's my raya for this? What makes me think this is true? You have to have the raya and then read the Rav Shem. The Gemara very often uses the idea of kavu and parish, right? In the eighth paragraph of Zvachim Menachem, the Gemara talks about kavu and parish all the time, about like animals. I mean, animals are very far from being kavua, right? If anything's not kavua, it's right. Animals, they're always walking around. Right. So pashut, they're not kavua. So Tosos already says in the beginning of the eighth parak of Zvachim, right? What's the name of the eighth parak of Zvachim, by the way? This really gets into in Tzim Kufiyot. The Rishonim and Achronim call it Perak HaTarubas. Now, if you look in Zvachim for Perak HaTarubas, you won't find it. You look all through Zvachim, you flip through every daf, you won't find Perak HaTarubas. The eighth Perak of Zvachim says on top, Kol HaZvachim. Kol HaZvachim is Perak HaTarubas. Why? Because Kol HaZvachim starts, Kol HaZvachim She'es Aruhu, etc., etc. And the nickname for it in the Rishon HaRon is Perak HaTarubas. So if you ever see Perak HaTarubas, you should know it's the eighth Perak of Zvachim, it says Kol HaZvachim on top, and that's Perak HaTarubas. It's the subject matter, not the first words. Okay, now, the Tosa says in the beginning Perak HaTarubas, and the Rashba says great length. The Gemara there calls it Kavua. Ah, when all the animals are mixed together, it's Kavua. If one of the animals runs away from the herd, that's Parish. What does it do with Kavua and Parish? So the Rishon say, no. Midrabanan, we use the word kavua when animals. Zochim, animals. What's the case there? Like you had kosher karbanos, they got mixed with pasul karbanos, with sharaniska, lachatos amesos, and all kinds of zochim. So the Tosas there says, Midrabanan, we use the word kavua to refer to any tarobes where there goes or there's no bittel, like bali chayim, or chatihuri liskabit, right, or dabar shiriminyan. And if one thing leaves the tarovus, we find it without, not in the middle of the tarovus, we call that parish. So midrabanan, we use the concept of kavua and parish. Kavua means in a tarovus without bittel. Parish means it's no longer in the tarovus. So that would see if the drabanan extension of kavua is a tarovus of a derechasha that's not bittel. That would be a good remez, at least, in Rael Dover, in Zechul Dover, that the Doraisa Kavua is also talking about Tarobas that's not Batal. The only difference is the Doraisa Tarobas that's not Batal is something that's a nicker than Komo. It's impossible to be Mavatal it. Midrabban, and they extended it to Dover Chashuv. But it's not a Raya. It's perhaps only Zechul Dover. Kach Nirli Miestaiti, if you're going to give a Sfar for Kavua, this is probably the best one. Okay, I've seen another Svar floating around in the modern day Svar that says, the difference between Kavua and Parish is a Knas. In Kavua, you should have paid more attention, and therefore the Torah gives you a Knas and makes it 50-50. In Parish, it's not your fault for not paying attention. I mean, there was nothing to pay attention to, and therefore they don't give you a Knas. All right, if you want, you can see it as a Knas. Also, I prefer to see it as a Din Tarobas. Once you use a Din Tarobas, it all falls into place, and then it makes sense that most of the sugyas of Kavua and Parish and Shas are about Tarobas of Chatir Rilis Kabed and Bali Chayim, which are just Tarobas without Bittel, which makes sense if that's really the Yisod of the Doraisa.
At least you didn't know what, it was impossible to figure out which store was non-kosher one, but you knew that there was
So hold that thought. Okay, I will answer it and then come back to it. The mainstream position of the Rishonim on that and the Pashup shot on that is that that's not called Kavua.
That's not Kokomo.
Right, because it's not Nicker.
But that would be good for weight.
Yes, exactly. But that's the mainstream Rishonim. I'm not claiming that is the mainstream Achronim.
isn't the klal of brina basaruba regardless of dinei tarovus? Tosfos Reed uses li dinei tarovus, and when you discuss the question, the suffix is which store you went into, so you don't have lechor dinei tarovus. You know it's basaruba, which therefore you didn't say you need to get to the concept of bittul of mikra or not mikra, just that. The same way, you know.
I'm not following your question.
The dinim of suffix, you zinah basarov. Is regardless if sometimes if you could, the Tosfos applies it to dinei tarovus, but not necessarily to dinei tarovus. All kinds of spekas and shas that we say as dinei basaruba, not because it's a tarovus, but some there's a suffix over here.
Right.
So the suffix over here, which star went into, is not necessarily a tarovus suffix. I would say it's even most likely not a tarovus question.
And I know.
I'm just pointing out. Like,
that's why I said this is a chiddush.
Right. I'm saying like right. I feel like a bit tricked because Rebbe was saying Azina Basaruba. Now we have the Tosfos Reed. He says in Azina Basaruba, we say within a Taro Vesinro.
No, I'm not. I'm all basing the Tosfos. That part you misunderstood, or I was unclear, or both. I just meant like to mention the sugya in which we brought up this phrase. I was not comparing it at all.
Okay, so if we have Azina Basaruba of Parish also over here,
of course, meaning.
Rebbe's like saying,
you could just, basically, just take it here. No. We want to know which store it is. The answer is Lina Basar Ruba 90%, but there is a Gus of 50%. I understand you could say that, but why then you won't have a store anymore.
So I'm asking, why do we jump to Tarovis and not ask as Lina Basar Ruba? Where did that decision?
From the Xeris of Gus of Arvul of Kavalov, there's definitely Xeris of Gus. The machlog is between me and most people, is most people say, Xeris of Gus is to pretend the odds are 50-50 when they're really 90-10, within the world of as Lina Basar Ruba.
Right.
I'm feeling the Xeris HaKosov is to look at a Tarovus instead of an individual object, and then Melech falls into place. The question is just, what's the Xeris HaKosov? Okay.
It's Tarovus Linian, it's Tarovus Linian what? Suffix Tarovus is... It's not Tarovus in the first place.
I know, that's the point. It's a group. Exactly. It's a invalid Tarovus. Okay, you can think about it.
Not because it's Nicker, I'm saying because it's not in the world.
No, all yavish be yavish is not what we're. That's not a problem.
No,
I don't understand. Yeah. Hold on. If I have six meatballs and one of them is treif, and they're in my six different houses, that's still a valid tarovus. And it's bottle. That doesn't bother me.
Would it be bottle even according to the rush?
Yeah. Narrowly yes. Narrowly yes.
I'm no. I'm
fine.
No.
Okay. I understand. Okay. Good. So we have machlokas. Baruch Hashem. Okay, now I know we're still in the sefer Machanas Hashem. Lemaisa, you could take it or leave it. Kach nirlani is daiting. Nirlani is daiting. You go back and you read the parak Torah Sabayis, and you'll see that this is what he's trying to say. But do it yourself and come back and tell me if you think that I'm making it up, that I'm weaving it from whole cloth or not. Not necessarily, because in your case, because either way should be batal, because no, what's the knas? If there's no way to tell which store is which, why should I get a knas? Right? So that's not enough. Now, let us just, we're not going to go into every detail here. Just see the main issues that come up in Kavua. I will fully admit, it's not so common that Kavua and Parish questions come up in everyday halachic shaylas, although once in a blue moon they certainly do. You can have, once in a blue moon they certainly do. let's look at before we get into some details. But the din of Kavua and Parish, again, you can like my Hesber, you can not like my Hesber. That doesn't bother me. I don't take it personally. But the din of Kavua and Parish, I think, should be clear. If you're starting with the store, then that's a din of Kavua. If you're starting with a piece of meat, and the store is mere background information, theoretical information, but your encounter, if you encounter the meat, that's called Parish. If you encounter the store, that is called Kavua. What I'm claiming is, I'm adding one Kadesh. It's encountering a piece of meat versus encountering the conglomerate of stores. That's the knich I'm adding that you don't have to believe.
Just to clarify, assuming you're in a store and you're buying this meat from the store, but the store sells both kosher and non-kosher meat, so the question is, what's the status of the piece?
So hold on a second. That depends. If the store sells both kosher and non-kosher meat, there's a counter of kosher meat and a counter of non-kosher meat, and I don't pay attention, then it's kavua again. It's just two counters, like two stores. If the store sells kosher and non-kosher meat, meaning it's all the store jumbles, it buys kosher meat, buys non-kosher meat, mixes them all up and sells them, then that is not a shiloh kavua whatsoever. Right. Then that's a shiloh chatzi harulis kavi, but it's not a shiloh kavua.
Right, so I think about
Then it would be, well, what the Achronim say is that if, let's say I have a mixture of Chatzi Harulis Kavit. Okay, let me point this out. This is, of course, the Rabbanim. The Harulis Kavit is the Rabbanim. But this is Muskum L'Kuli Alma. This is Muskum L'Kuli Alma. And we'll see it later in the soon in the Shulchan Aruch. I might not let you go to sleep tonight or eat dinner until we see this in the Shulchan Aruch. You know, we'll get to it. Let's wait till we get to the Shulchan Aruch. Makes it simple.
All that shall be considered in the nine store.
Now, let's say you have only one store in town, and the guy got a mixture of meat, and it's just chetidu el iskabe. I mean, there's no kvias here, right? So one store, it's a mixture of meat. What happens? Okay, here you have one store. It has 60% kosher chatzi harulis kavid, 40% treif chatzi harulis kavid. Right?
So your question is,
if the store sold chatzi harulis kavid, then it would be fine. What's the 60-40? So a mutter, right? Bit of a rope. Here you have a store, 40%, so there's no bit of a rope, right? Basically, what's the din? What's the halacha? One second, Isaac. Tell me if this will answer your question. If I go take a piece, it's usher. Why? Because chatzi harulis kavid is not batel. Kavua versus Parish. Obviously, Midrar Bana. This is not a Dindar Reif. It's Chatzi Harulis Kavid is both the world. Right?
So, I don't understand. You go to the counter and the guy gives you a piece of meat. Laka
min ha Kavua.
So, why is it up?
Versus Parish. That's why I said Kavua and Parish also applies to, obviously, Midrar Bana. It's a Tarul Vashainu Batal.
If you go to the store and the person. Oh,
I'm sorry. Can I cut you off for a second? I do want to give the lingo of the Achronim. The lingo of the Achronim is that this is called Kavua Midrabanan. This is the Drabanan kind of Kavua. It's not a real Kavua. Really, it's just pieces that are jumbled and nothing has a place that, you know. But Midrabanan, Doshev, is called Kavua. And you apply the rules of Kavua and Parish. If I go to the store, obviously if I go to the store, you say, no, that store has a Tyropus and it's not Bottle, the whole store is straight. And if I go to the store and take a piece of meat, buy a piece of meat, it's treif. However, if I find a cat on the sidewalk outside and snatch the piece of meat out of its mouth that he stole from the store, then that piece of meat is kosher because it's called a parish, maybe a parish.
I don't understand why that case is not considered a parish. Like, I don't understand the difference.
Because over here, I never encountered the tarubis. I only encountered one piece. Over here, I encountered the whole tarubis.
What tarobas do you
have? The whole store is a big tarobas. It's a bunch of the jumble of meat.
Right, so let's say you're given the meat over the counter by the person, and you're just encountering this one piece of meat.
Okay, that's an excellent question. The answer is, however, since I asked the guy to hand me a piece of meat, then I'm taking it from the tarobas. Even if, we'll see in the Ramah, I didn't ask him to hand me the meat, I just saw him hand me the meat, that's considered kavua because I saw him take it from the tarobas. So I started, even if I didn't use my hand to take it from the tarobas, if I saw it in the tarobas and then come out of the tarobas, that's called kavua.
It doesn't matter if it's a davar chashav or a chatzi harulis kavid, right, in this regard, because you don't have enough to be mevatel these.
Sure you do, because we paskin, you don't need 2-to-1, you just need rove.
Yeah, but how do you know that you even have rove?
I just said 60% kosher, 40%
treif.
I made it up. How do I make up statistics? for illustrative purposes. But right, you could actually know. Meaning, what you could look at the receipts of the shipping companies and see how many pieces of meat he bought from this, how many pieces of meat he bought from that, etc., etc. No, go back to the Muncie Butcher. Does that still mean anything to people, or is that too long ago? Muncie Butcher. Right? Okay. In the Muncie Butcher case, they didn't have statistics, meaning they didn't have forensic accountants. They, he didn't, it's not like it was the FBI and they raided and all of a sudden found all the secret documents. No, he destroyed all the receipts and everything, so they couldn't tell. But let's say it was a case where the guy would find some kosher, right? This butcher was trying to rip people off. He's not stupid. He still buys some from the kosher wholesaler, so he'll cover his tracks, so he'll look okay. He buys some from the trade wholesaler, that way he makes more of a profit. He doesn't need to go and get him. And let's say you tack it, you find his record books, you find the receipts, or you call the wholesalers and figure out the statistics. And you know he bought 3 kosher chickens for every trade chicken. And you bought a chicken from the store, right? And let's say chickens, chatzibu rilis kabeh, we're Ashkenazim, apologies, right? Even raw chickens are rilis kabeh, right? So I bought a chicken from the store. This is actually a great question. We're going to get back to it in a second. It's talking to me. Now, if I go into the store and buy a chicken, I say, this store is 75% kosher, 25% treif. I go into the store and buy a chicken, that's treif. I took from a tarum, that was treif. However, if I find a guy walking out of that store with a chicken, then I could say, do you mind selling me the chicken? Going in and buying yourself another one. And I can buy the chicken from him and eat it, because once the chicken is parish, it's 75% likely to be kosher, called a parish, meiruva parish. Parish also applies to tarubos dafa chashuv, not only to kavu d'oraisa, which is the basis for my whole chiddush, which you could or could not agree with.
Even if you saw the guy come out of that store, because you're seeing him get a tarubos.
I think in this case, it would depend. If you saw the guy, I think in this case, if you saw him walk out the door of the store, that's okay, because the ropes was in the pieces, there was only one store. But if you saw him take a chicken from the shelf, it would be a problem. But if you meet him on the sidewalk outside, again, I know he took it from, the same thing. I know he took it from a shelf. He doesn't know sacred secret. Right? I know he took it from a shelf. If I see the guy take it off the shelf, that's kavua, it's treif. If I meet the guy on the sidewalk, even though this is a guy who doesn't know sefer yitzira, I can say, could you do me a favor? You know, the guy in Muncie used to Orthodox Jews asking them to do strange things. Can you do me a favor? Here's $10. Can I have that chicken? Go buy yourself a new chicken. Yeah, fine, no problem. Now I can eat the chicken. Again, the Mesil Sharon probably wouldn't approve. But we're talking in halacha.
What's the difference between meeting a guy and meeting yourself?
Hmm?
Why do you think?
Because I am myself. And as a matter of fact, even a big machlokas, what if it would be a Jew? I always use goyim. What if it would be a Jew? What if it's a non-frum Jew? These are big machlokas, we're not going to get into, which are very novedous on my local mice, so they're too complicated to address now. Now, let me just...
You see the one where that
what?
If you buy the chicken for him and it's much more receiving him
than an arrow, because... Well, no, it was a goyim.
You said non-frum
meat. It's a big machlokas, I'm not going to get into that now.
Okay,
by the way, let me just point out, I'm not getting into this at all. You can do research if you want. There's a big Yavi Omar on it. One of the big shilas nowadays in Hilchos Arla is, there are trees. Those are the Arla trees. That everyone knows they're Arla trees. It's a secret what trees are Arla, what trees aren't. Right? Everyone has record books. I mean, they don't have a sign on the tree. And what is record books when they planted which tree and exactly how old the tree? And you can usually tell by looking at it. And, this chelka was planted in 2012. This chelka was planted in 2013. What if there's a lot of trees? Some of them are orla. If I just go to a tree and I don't know anything and pick one, that is kavua, right? It was nicker from kavua. It was like a tree store. The big shaila is, what if the non-from farmer takes from the tree and sells it to me? So do I say, well, it's a suffix, or a non-from worker says, is that kavua or parish? I only found an orange in the grocery store. That's already parish. Or do I say, no, Yid took it from the kavua. The real suffix started in kavua. I inherited his suffix of kavua. And does that depend whether Yid is from or not from? Does it depend who's the first person to take it, or who's the first person to take it and not know when it was planted? Because maybe there's no suffix when the owner takes it, because he knows what it is. The only suffix when the next guy takes it. It's very complex, and that underlies all the differences between the Mahadran and non-Mahadran hashgachas on fruits in terms of shash. Well, I shouldn't say all. No, they all. But the difference in a lot of some of the differences in policies and how much rechush for Erla and the Shuk depend on these very, very subtle issues. Because trees taka are nicker from kavua. They're really kavua. Trees are more kavua than stars, perhaps. So this is a very, very chomer shaila in Erla. The reason why anyone ever wore, why does anyone ever wear that Erla? I don't mean l'chachila. Obviously l'chachila, if you're a certifying agency, if you're a mashkiach, obviously you don't let them put Orla in. But if you go to a shuk, why does anyone ever worry about Orla? The answer is, most fruits are not Orla. Right? Most fruits are not Orla. What?
Even in the Orla ratio?
The Orla ratio, pashas, you only need the Orla ratio when it's kavua. When it's harobis, and it's harobis is like kavua in your abundance, so you get up with the same shilas. Okay, this gets very complex, not for now. Isaac, and then I'm going to take 10 minutes and
let's
finish up this.
Let's say you encounter one of these stores where it's 60% kosher and 40% straight, and you don't go to the store, but you get the groceries delivered to your home.
That gets very, very, very tricky. That is very tricky, and I'm not going to get into it now. That depends on a few things that might depend on... That might depend on A, whether the person who took it from the store was a Jew or a guy, whether the person who took it from the store, whether the person who took it from the store is a from Jew or non from Jew, whether the person who took it from the store knows what its halachic status or doesn't know what its halachic status is, whether that person is considered your shliach or not. That is a very, very complicated shaila, which you think I should be able to answer simply, and I can answer in an hour, but I don't know if I can answer in less than
that. Why isn't that considered kavod yerabanan?
Because by the time you get it, it's parsh, right? So it's not so pashut. You only saw one piece. You didn't see any tarovis. Okay, let me just point out a few machlokos. A few machlokos that come up here. First of all, let me just read the last line of the Mechaber and summarize a simon of Shulchan Aruch for you. In a summary form. The last line of the Mechaber in Gimel is Zeh din Torah. This is all the din d'oraisa. Avol chachamim asruhu. The chachamim asher. The assumption is that chachamim were only talking about meat. A piece of meat you find on the floor is a special gzeir d'rabanan against it. Anyone know it? Afol pisha kol shokhan avol pisha. Even if not just 9, even if 10 out of 10, even if 100% of the butchers and stores are Jewish, even if 100% of the meat is kosher, right, nothing to do with the kavua parsh. It's a special gzeir d'rabanan meat on the floor that's called right, this is the special gzeir d'rabanan of basar shenis alein min ha'ayin. This gzeir is only on basar. We do not assume they made this gzeir on cucumbers. And this has nothing to do with kavua parsh, right? 100% is 100%. There's no suffix at all. There's a special gzeir d'rabanan basar shenis alein min ha'ayin. It even happened once that all the stores were kosher. And a raven came and picked up the kosher meat and dropped a piece of treif meat, and you never know what can happen with these things, and it fell to the river and got swept away, and a treif piece of meat got swept in its place, and therefore Basher Salam and Ayin is Usher. This is what Simon Samach Gimel is about. On Shabbos, go through Simon Samach Gimel. This is a tremendous machlokes in Sfardim and Ashkenazim as to how to apply this. Sfardim are very macher in Basher Salam and Ayin. Against Pshat of the Gemara. But Sfardim are very not from Bashar Salam and Ayin. Sfardim say that if I go to Gan Sakar, right, that's where you do mangals. I go to Gan Sakar, I take out a mangal, I put a hamburger down, and I go play frisbee, and I come back in 5 minutes, that hamburger's treif. Because Bashar Salam and Ayin was hidden from my eyes, right? I wasn't keeping track of it the whole time. Sfardim, I'm summarizing Simon Samach Gimel. I'm going to summarize it and leave out a few kulas that Ayin Sham, you'll see, you can find a few kulas here and there, but this is the normal case halachos. I'm going to summarize the normal cases, not the, kulas and rare cases that are addressed there. Fundamental machlokas. Basar Shalom, not amazing. So according to the Mechaber, it's usher unless you have one of 3. One second.
Can birds come near the fire, like manga?
The lo-inyan, it's a low plug. It's a low plug, yes. Unless you have one of three things. Unless you have simen. If you have a simen on it, then, I mean, all these three things are really the same. If you make a simen, that's okay. So make a simen. You'll take your hamburger and, you know, make a little, you know, triangle, carve a little triangle in it or something. If you see your simen, then it's okay. That we're not kosher for another piece of that simen. Or, tvias ayin. You recognize it. What's the difference between tvias ayin and, tvias ayin and simen. Simen means like simen that you can identify. I can tell you the simen. Ah, there's a triangle in the middle. I scratched the knife triangle in the middle if I'm starting. Or, tvias ayin means there's nothing I can tell you, but I recognize it. You know, sometimes you can recognize something without being able to prove, you know, exactly what. Like, I can't tell you why I recognize it, but I recognize it. I know that's it. You know, I know that's my sweatshirt, even though I can't tell you what I can't express what makes it different than every other sweatshirt, but I know it's my sweatshirt. Right? That's tvias ayin, that's okay. Again, for hamburgers, I don't know how likely you are to have tvias ayin. It's one thing, you make something at home. Or a, you know, what they call a sarer b'chasam. The piece itself, which is the same thing, the piece itself is unrecognizable, but it's tied up and it's chasam, it's sealed. It's in a sealed package. A sealed package is okay, and that's obvious, right? Basically, but for Sfardim, if I let it out of eyesight, so if I just bought it from the supermarket and it sells a sealed package with you know, with the batati or the hologram, that's okay. It has a sealed package. If I recognize it because it looks special, I recognize it, even if I don't know how, that's okay. Or if not, I should be smart and make a simon, or else I'm gonna have to throw out my food. That's the chomer baser shem zalmayim lefi mechaber. The Ramah says differently. Ramah says, or mutter if you find it in the same place. That's a world of difference. The Ramah says, as long as it's in the same place, that's okay, even though you have no proof. Basically, for the Ramah, the only thing that's usher is if you find it in a different place. That could be. Meaning, if people were playing whatever, and you go back to your grill, and you find a hamburger on the floor that was knocked off the grill, then even Ashkenazim are machmir. That bosher should have been eaten. Even though we all know that the one from the grill fell on the floor, min hastam, still, once it's not in the same place, even Ashkenazim are machmir. But if it's in the same place, Ashkenazim are mako. That's why Ashkenazim are almost always mako of bosher should have been eaten. It's only usher if you find it in a different place.
Or airline food, if they have to open the steel package.
Or it could be airline food if they have to open the seal packages.
Mistumah,
you don't have, you might not have tvias ayin, etc. They usually don't, but if they would,
no,
right?
Once they came over and they said, like, oh, we have to open the seal in order, otherwise the microwave would explode, etc.
So that.
To me, the less problem of Zeya.
Correct.
But this problem of Basish.
Correct. Okay, but one second, but for Sfardin, unless you mamish have evidence, even vague evidence, tvias ayin. Unless you really know that it's the same piece of meat, you have to be machmer. That's a big chumra for Sfardim. Some Ashkenazim are machmer like the Sfardim here. Yesh Ashkenazim that are machmer, at least l'chachila, like the Sfardim here, to never leave anything alone unless you have tvias ayin or simen, even in a locked house. But the mainstream minhag of the Ashkenazim was like the Ramah, and the Sfardim that Rav Avadya says, Sfardim are machmer like the Mechaber, and the mainstream minhag of the Ashkenazim is to be makom like the Ramah. So there's a big machlokes to be shown, and most Rishonim assume in Dine Mamonis it only works for a Talmud Chacham, because we can't let you get money that might belong to someone else with Tvias Ayin. But in Yisurim, where it's just you and the Rabbanu Shalom, then that's your business. You should be honest with yourself. Don't lend other people's money that we don't align to Tvias Ayin. But in any case, it's no problem relying to Tvias Ayin here, since Bashar Salman Ayin is only a Chumrah anyway, so therefore it would make sense in any case to rely on it here. So he should either make a simon or have tvias ayin.
What was it?
Okay. Then he might have tvias ayin. He recognizes how he left his meal, or if not, he should make a simon.
The biggest application of this was the national problem when it started in 1948. And then they had to find a special way to yotzei v'sfaradim shita. Shouldn't be a minimum of
right, meaning in the production stage, so I guess whatever, they have to worry about it. That's something I hadn't thought about.
Two questions. For the Spartan, are they allowed to rely on minors, or do I need to say that it hasn't moved, or no verb came, or nothing happened?
You would not be allowed to rely on goyim. Nero the Nisaita, they should be able to rely on Tanim, since it's only a Chomer Drabbanan, it's considered even lighter than most Yisrim Drabbanan, because it's a very far out chash. And for Drabbanans, we generally rely on Tanim.
And second is, I'm trying to understand those there in the first place, like, why don't they factor in odds or, like, rule?
You're
like,
talking about Nisalim and Ayin?
The Xera. In general, like, that Basar Shinzalim, not yet.
Ah, so it's a little
why
funny.
Why is it different than any other?
The Gemara actually gives a historical explanation that once this happened and Rav saw someone like eat treif meat because it was an alman ayin and it was switched by the bird, was switched by the river, etc. So, or the river, I think in his case. So he once saw it happen, and maybe that's the origin of the gzeira. It's a good question. It's a good question because all the achronim they say this isn't really as serious as other yisurim drabbanan because there's not a strong basis. And then, of course, begs the question, if there's not a strong basis, why were they machmir? So, and probably the answer is more than one story happened to Rav once. That seems a little arbitrary. So it could be that if we have to understand the circumstances of the time, maybe he felt it was necessary to make a chumra in the circumstances of his time. Okay, Ravosai. It's Tuesday? Okay. So I will try to mess with Kefet's watch or something next Sunday. See if we can, you know, disable his alarm clock or something. We have to, next Sunday, there's a few more details that we have to talk about in terms of Kavua and Parish. What's the rest of Siman Kuf Yod? A few more details of Kavua and Parish. That are technical details, but our whole sugya is fascinating to get into them, but I just want to like see in a summary fashion. So just go over, I don't care if you go over the Lumbus or not, just understand Kavua and Parish. And what we're going to discuss is the rest of Sif Gimel, what we're going to discuss next time in terms of Kavua and Parish is Sif Hey and the Mechaber of Vav. Hey and the Mechaber of Vav. Then we're going to briefly mention Se'if Zion. And then we're going to get into Sfeik Sfeika. Sfeik Sfeika is Dalid and Ches and On. We're going to, if anyone has time, that's great. We're going to basically do Bekiyas, some basic ideas of Sfeik Sfeika, summarize some of the basic ideas. Then we're going to do Bekiyas and Kufiyat Aleph. That's what we're going to try to accomplish next time by hook or by crook. Yes, why not? and obviously, you know, there's the chance to fill in what is missing. I will put in the box, if anyone actually wants to try to go through the Klali Sfeik Sfeika, I will put in my box a summary of the English summary of the Klali Sfeik Sfeika of the Shach. There are three things you can do with it. You could just read it stam, and you will understand the basic half of it and not understand the other half of it, which is not as central. You could read each one and then go through that call of the Sfeik Sfeika of the Shach. So I can guess Kholi Sfeik Sfeika here, like rules of Sfeik Sfeika. And then it will help you to understand the paragraph you're about to read, and you could read the paragraph and then read this to make sure you understand the summary helps you understand the paragraph. So unfortunately, we don't have time to really be Ma'ayin or even be not Ma'ayin in them, just to briefly mention some highlights of Klali Sfeik Sfeika. And Siman Kuf Yud Aleph, we'll just briefly mention the main ideas. And then we'll have to finish this volume, Amir Toshem, next time, the best we can, because we then only have a month left, and we have a lot of other halachos to try to cover.
What's next?
Okay, the plan is Sunday shiur, we're going to finish Hilchos Tarobis. The next shiur are going to be Pas Akum, Bishul Akum, Kofiud Gimel, and Highlight.